Hey everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. We are here watching some Christmas movies in the month of December for hashtag 8-Bit Christmas. 8-Bit Xmas.
Xmas.
I don't know if we'll ever get that correct. I don't.
Well, I mean, it is technically 8-Bit Christmas.
It is.
The X stands for.
But with an X, yeah.
But with an X.
Right.
Hey, at least we type it right. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it goes up on the website, it's correct.
Yep.
Until the time that it isn't, and then I get yelled at, and then it gets fixed.
Yep.
But hopefully anyone listening right now would figure that out or see that error. Mm-hmm. I am Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Kevin picked this week's film that he saw and watched a million times.
He totally watched it this week.
Uh-huh. What was your pick, Kevin?
My pick was Home Alone.
Holy cow.
I know, right?
It'd have been really funny if you'd been like, my pick was A Christmas Story. Like, yeah. Wait, what? That's not what you told us last week.
Yeah, he's like, I just watched it today.
Yeah, I watched Christmas Story today, guys. What did you watch?
Fuck. You told us Home Alone.
No, Hobe Alone? Like Hobo
Alone.
This movie came out in 1990. How old were you guys?
Oh, man, I was 9 years old.
Hold on, I have to do the math.
Doug wasn't even born yet.
I was? That's not true.
I was 10 years old.
I was 4.
You weren't 10 years old, Jeremy. You were 9.
9 or 10? No,
Because I'm older than you.
No, I graduated in 1999.
Yes.
I was 18 in 1999.
Correct. When's your birthday?
I can't tell you that over the air.
Okay, my birthday is February 24th, 1981. My social security number is...
Too far! But
I was 9 years old when this movie came out.
All right, I was eight. So I was eight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it came out around like Christmas time of 1990. So yeah, you would have been
8 years old.
There you go.
Wow. Can you guys remember anything from that period of time when this movie came out?
I remember seeing this in a double feature of, I believe it was Home Alone and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, maybe?
Doug is just shaking his head like, nope.
Yeah, Doug...
It was fucking 4 years old. Okay, Doug, so when's the first time that you remember?
My memory begins around most things was when I was about 5. So okay. About another year and a half after this came out.
Probably. All right, so when was the first time that you got to see this? What age?
I probably saw this growing up. I mean, I have two older siblings, so there's a good chance I saw this in 1990. If not, then definitely 91, you know, or whenever it came out. Again.
But when do you remember seeing
it? Oh, that's the thing. I don't remember the first time I saw it.
Oh, really?
It's just, yeah.
You just know it was there. It was just
that's how I feel about Star Wars, too. Like, I don't remember the first time I saw Star Wars because I just fucking grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of, in a way, hurts me, I feel, because I don't have that, like, oh my God, Darth Vader is Luke's father? Like,
spoilers, by the way.
Like,
spoilers.
It just, I know, right? But, whoops, sorry. Shit.
See, these people tuned in for Christmas, and you already spoiled Star Wars.
For real.
Well, shit.
Merry Christmas, Doug.
You filthy animal.
So that, I don't remember, I don't, you know, that's how I feel about this one, too. I don't remember, you know, it just has been and always will be.
Let's see, I remember 8 years old. Shit. I don't remember exactly when I saw this film either, but I do remember the time that I walked into the Rite Aid and I saw it next to the cash register on a VHS tape, waiting to be purchased. And I said, "Mom," and then I think she said no. Around that time, I think I was playing the Atari 2600. So I think that was still in my life. Mm. And I don't fucking remember much else after around that age.
Yeah. Home Alone, I think.
It's a blur.
I don't know if Home Alone 1 had a Nintendo game, but I know Home Alone 2 did. And I remember playing that one. But Home Alone 1, I mean, basically all you did was go house to house and set traps and, like, avoid Harry and Marv. So,
if you don't know, it is a story about Macaulay Culkin plays Kevin McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to avoid Harry and Marv, who are the wet bandits.
Yeah.
And they go around... trying to rob all the houses during Christmas. You know, when I was watching this, I had a good laugh because, you know, Joe Pesci's character is standing in the doorway of this beautiful home that probably costs like $4,000 a month in electricity to power. And at any point, he could have robbed them because nobody was paying attention to that man. He was dressed as a cop. And I said to myself, well, why doesn't he just steal stuff now? Totally get away with it.
And Kevin sees him then, and he smiles at him, and he's got the fucking gold tooth or whatever, and the gold tooth shines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's great. Well, the thing is, they went door to door as cops, you know, basically they were casing places, and they even knew the exact times that the lights would go on, the lights would go off, and everything like that.
Yeah. And overall, the story hits, like, when I was watching this film, rewatching it, I cannot tell you how perfect, like, the setup is for this film. It's really great. It's amazing. And from what I understand, okay, the director is Chris Columbus.
Yep. Yes.
He was supposed to direct, the story that I read, he was supposed to direct Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually turned it down because Chevy Chase was such a dick.
That sounds about right.
And so then he went on to accept and direct Home Alone.
Interesting.
If I am wrong on that, I heard this story somewhere, and it's got to be him because it's definitely I just heard this story and read about it. So if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I think that's right.
It's a pretty well-rounded movie as far as like not only just who's in it, but also like Chris Columbus, you mentioned the director, also directed the first two Harry Potter films, amongst several other,
and the Goonies, great,
and a ton of great movies. Dude's had a fucking phenomenal career, right?
Music. Richard Donner who directed Goonies. Wasn't it Richard Donner who directed the Goonies?
Christopher Columbus is listed as, I'm sorry, what is he on there for? He is the
Goonies. I'm IMDBing that right now. Yeah, it was directed by Richard Donner.
Here you go. Here's some of his movies that he's directed. Adventures in Babysitting.
Nice. I love that film.
Home Alone. Home Alone 2. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Bicentennial Man.
The first two Harry Potter movies. Rent. I Love You, Beth Cooper. Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Pixels. Oh man, I'm sorry.
Rough.
Okay, so some rough ones in there, but for the most part, he kickstarted the Harry Potter movie franchise. And then also Home Alone, all that stuff, and then written by goddamn John Hughes.
Yeah, the late great John Hughes.
The late great John Hughes wrote Breakfast Club, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Every '80s movie, basically. That was awesome. Yeah,
if it was an '80s movie and good, it was definitely done by him. And 16 Candles, all the good stuff, and then soundtrack by, again, the phenomenal, the amazing, like the best fucking like musician and composer of all goddamn time, John Williams.
Yeah,
so good.
I am correct on this story. You can go to vulture.com and hear the story about Christopher Columbus directed Home Alone instead because of Christmas Vacation when he met Chevy Chase.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Did John Hughes write Christmas Vacation? He sure as fuck did.
Yeah.
He sure as fuck did. So that must be it. He must have written it, Christmas Vacation, and probably given it to Chris Columbus and been like, hey, man, you want to direct this? And he's probably like, yeah, cool. Nope. I don't
fucking do this.
And then the next year been like, yo, I got another movie, another Christmas movie, starring that kid. He also wrote Uncle Buck, which kind of makes sense. I'm starting to see a goddamn pattern here.
And they're all in Illinois. Like, I grew up like seeing a lot of those houses. Like, we actually, when I was a kid, we actually drove to the old Home Alone house, and it's still there. I think it went for sale recently, but yeah, you can find all those houses.
Does it have that iron fucking statue that falls over?
No.
But it should.
Yeah.
I think when they were selling it too, they were saying you really can't mess with it. It kind of could become like a kind of a landmark. So you can't really change it too much.
I wonder if all those exterior shots were in that same house, like the around back and the basement and all that. You know, like I wonder if it's all that house and the
doubt that.
And the tree house and all that kind of stuff.
A lot of that stuff is always filmed on like, you know, on a set. But it would be cool if it was. I mean, I just think obviously the exteriors were filmed like in Illinois. I don't know where all the interior stuff was because obviously I didn't go in someone's house.
You should have knocked on the door. You should have taken that opportunity.
I'm sure they had. I mean, there was already people there taking pictures and everything. I'm sure there's all kinds every day.
It's probably a museum at this point, and you could have probably just walked in and saw everything from the film.
Well, wasn't it? This is in like when I was a kid in the 90s. You know?
I mean,
like,
yeah, but I mean, you could have gross that, you know, just like, hey.
I hate you so much.
So what'd you guys think? Did it bring back fond memories? Is it always nice to watch this film when you see it? It's a classic film, obviously. Mm-hmm. But does it bring up any kind of... What does it make you feel like, guys? What does it make you feel? The feels.
Well, it depends on the part of the movie you're watching, I think. Because there's like the beginning as an adult now.
I'm that dude's a Kevin little dick.
Being a guy. Okay, everyone's a dick. Everyone is a dick because Kevin's a dick right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Just he is a dick. Mm-hmm. A giant dickhole. And then, he gets to dinner, which he's the last one there for whatever fucking reason. He's the last one there, and then he's like, hey, where's that cheese pizza? And then his older dickhole brother is Buzz. Like, if you want it, you're going to have to, you know, make people vomit to give it to you. And that starts a fight, and everyone, you know, shit's happening. And then his motherfucking cocksucking uncle is like, what a jerk. You're a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Who talks like that to an 8-year-old? And what fucking parent doesn't stand up for your kid? Yeah, it's probably a shitty thing that there's a fight going on, but like, to let your brother call your kid a jerk and then like have everyone stare at him and like, no wonder he like wished for you all to disappear. You're goddamn cocksuckers.
And then the mother's just like, well, maybe when you wake up, we'll be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And that whole thing, I was like, man, this is fucking heated. Like, goddamn. People are fucking vindictive as shit.
And listen, you don't realize it until you and you put money into it. And it's just like, this is a really rich family and they're all about them fucking selves.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, I just like I couldn't believe I was there's the part of me that was mad at Kevin as like as an adult being like Jesus Christ, talk to your parents that way. Like what the fuck is wrong with you? And then there's a part of me that's like mad at the adults for being like, what the fuck are you letting this happen? Like, goddamn. No one saw Buzz fucking fake vomit the food at Kevin, which then caused him to react and push him and start the chain reaction. Come on.
Yeah. Especially, how do you not hear him going,
and somehow it's Kevin's fault, even though it's his big brother being a dickweed.
And the whole reason, I mean, the way he gets left behind is hilarious because he doesn't want to share the bed with his cousin who wets the bed.
Fuller.
And the kid's like, I had Pepsi.
Yeah. You know who that kid is?
Who is he?
That's Kieran Culkin. That's his little brother, who is also Scott Pilgrim versus the World and also Fargo season 2.
Oh, he's in Fargo. Oh, man, I got to watch that. But he is fantastic in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. As Wallace.
Yeah, Wallace is fantastic.
Yeah, I was looking through it and I was, you know, like the cast and stuff. I was like, oh, man, who's in? And I was like, what? Get out of here. And so I'm watching the movie and I'm like, okay, which one are you? And then you see him and it's like, oh, yeah, it's that one right there.
Yeah, you can obviously tell.
Like, clearly that's his little brother.
Oh, man.
It's so funny. Great cast. Like, we've talked about it before. Daniel Stern as the sidekick to Joe Pesci. I always love him. As the narrator on The Wonder Years.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. He was the narrator? I never put that together. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Man, that's something there.
I'm looking at photos of him, and he's looking so old now.
Yeah, for sure. So 1990, Home Alone. Yeah, it was Marv Merchants. What a weird last name, right? And then The Wonder Years, 1988 to 1993.
Talk about
adult Kevin Arnold.
Talk about being fucking typecast. He's in. I'm looking through his movies. He's got like a couple more. He was in The Christmas Story 2, Battle of the Bulbs.
Wow. So he's only doing Christmas films from there on out.
Yeah.
The thing with when I was a kid too, it really freaked me out because Joe Pesci. I mean, I would say I probably saw him in more comedies when I was a kid, but as I grew up and saw him in like gangster movies like Casino and Goodfellas.
Yeah, Goodfellas.
It's so polarizing. Like going like from like, you know, comedian and happy, funny guy to like fucking crazy little Italian dude that will cut you at the, you know, the fucking sight.
Blow your brains out for no goddamn reason.
So I mean he's such
like the way you laughed at a joke he told.
Yeah, he's such a diverse actor. That you can go from Home Alone to Casino And, you know, like in the 90s, he really cut his teeth on that stuff. So it's like, it's crazy that in probably in that same year, in 1990, he had Home Alone. He probably had Goodfellas or some kind of like Scorsese film.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to see just that type of actor do so many different roles. But he killed it as Harry. Like, I loved him as that. Like, he was hilarious. Shit.
Okay. So 1990, he had, I haven't seen some of these. Betsy's Wedding, Goodfellas,
see,
Home
yeah.
Alone. Yeah. In 89, he had, like, Lethal Weapon 2.
They fuck you in the place. They fuck you here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. He was. Oh, yeah, I remember the Super.
Yeah, he was Leo Getz.
Yep. That was fucking, I oh, love Super, that one. Yeah. It was good.
Jesus Christ.
He did a movie with Rodney Dangerfield. He was, like, Rodney Dangerfield's best friend. I forget what it was, but Rodney Dangerfield had a clause where he had to lose like a certain amount of weight in order to get like his aunt's money or something like that. I can't remember. It was, oh God. Rodney Dangerfield was great.
Holy shit. He has not worked in since 2010. He's only had one gig as an actor.
He doesn't need to.
I know.
Yeah, dude's probably living off the fucking residuals of goddamn Goodfellas every time it's shown on TNT.
You mean and or AMC. And Home Alone. I mean, shit, that's once a year, at least.
For sure.
On every single channel. Anyways,
Easy
okay.
Money. Easy Money was the name of that movie.
So what favorite, let's talk favorite moments. What's your favorite moments from the film? We'll start with Kevin since he just saw it recently.
I hate you guys. So full disclosure, I have not seen the movie recently. These guys are mad at me for that. But I've seen it so many times growing up, and I've watched it at least once a year. So, I mean, I know. My favorite moment still
Hold on. Sorry. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you can listen to how much he knows, because he just said he knows, on the pre-show. So I encourage you to donate $1 just to listen to this.
Yeah, just go listen. Oh, my God.
So please funny. Hear me answer these asinine questions from these fucking plebeians.
Incorrectly.
But
all right, so go ahead.
Favorite part where... I'm just kidding. No, I'm not going to do it because I want to do this.
No, my absolute, like, I would have to say my favorite part in the movie was, it was near the beginning when they first tried to enter the house and Kevin knew it. So he put on the Angels with Dirty Faces VHS and he added the firecrackers and everything. And they're like, somebody beat us to it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they start playing the movie and they started, you know, just going back and forth.
Snakes. I don't know no snakes.
Yeah. Was it Mo with the
good snakes? I recognize that voice.
I smelled you coming in from the elevator.
Yeah.
It was so good. And so that's my favorite part because I love the ending of it. You know, keep the change, you filthy animal. Awesome. I still quote that to this day.
Dougie Fresh.
It's tough. You know what's really interesting? Is that the whole, you know, what everyone knows Home Alone for is the literally the last 20 minutes of that movie. Is them breaking in and him fucking them up. That mm-hmm. literally starts an hour and 20 minutes into an hour and 40 minute long movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. So what's my favorite? I don't know, man. There's a lot of good stuff. Some of it's ridiculous because tonight we were just going and dead and
yeah.
dead and dead and dead. Like there's all these parts where these fools would have freaking died.
Yep.
Favorite, I don't know. It's really hard. I think this year being a parent, I think my favorite part was when the mom got home. That would be cheesy as shit. I don't know. Like, because even though, like, they're, you know, everyone's dickholes, you know, she was able to make it. And yeah, just, and riding with the fucking polka band, like, it's great. It was fucking great.
I gotta go a little cheesy with you, too. I'm gonna say the church scene between.
Yeah, the old man.
The old man and the
Marley.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they're just talking about family and life and how much it means to each other and stuff. That always gets me ever since I had a kid. I think Doug is starting to probably go through that to where all those touching moments mean more now because you see yourself in them. But yeah, that and then I got to say, I love physical comedy. I absolutely adore it. It's so funny to me.
Yeah.
It reminds me, there's a really funny scene that made me laugh like out loud pretty fucking hard tonight.
But I love when Marv gets hurt so much and when the spider gets put on him and he's just like...
Oh, that scream.
And the scream. And he's like...
Girl, scream.
Like, just the sounds he makes when he's going down the stairs, when he falls.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's just so funny.
Yeah.
I think one of the parts that made me laugh the hardest was, okay, so he climbs up the stairs with the tar, mm-hmm. which, by the way, the family gets home the next morning. He's done a pretty good job of cleaning up most of the house. I'm pretty sure he didn't get that tar off those stairs.
Yeah.
I want to hear part of that conversation.
Yeah.
So what happened here with the tar on the stairs?
Get that lava soap to get it out.
So he's going up the stairs. He steps on the nail. He falls down the stairs, and he goes back outside. And literally the shot is just the back door of him walking outside, which he is so he slid down earlier because he iced the stairs.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he iced that whole area. So he's barefoot now because he lost his shoes and socks going up the stairs, which, again, yeah. I'm assuming are still there. But so then he leaves, and like it's just the door, and then you see the silhouette and just the – just him just disappear out of sight with the sound of just yeah. him falling because it's fucking icy and he forgot and he walked out the door. Door closes.
Oh my god!
I laughed so hard. I don't know why, because like you didn't see him fall, yeah. but just enough of him disappearing and the sound was enough. And it was like, oh my god.
One thing that caught me too with that scene where he's walking up the stairs and he steps on the nail was how silent he did, like a silent scream, because yeah. you just see him go all the way down on the nail and you're like, oh no, and he just fucking falls right back down.
Oh, he's dead at that point too. Like, nobody makes a fall onto their back like that and doesn't break something.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
From yeah, that far out.
There was, I think, a Cracked article or something like last year that was just like the hundreds of ways that they died while robbing the house in Home Alone. And it literally broke down like every single thing. Like that iron falling through there and landing mm-hmm. on his face, dead. Absolutely. That thing has enough weight that it would have crushed his skull. Mm-hmm. Even if it only had fallen like that 10 feet or whatever, like the way that it would have killed him. And then like the flamethrower to the head would have like... absolutely dead. The way that he was wearing the wool hat that then like caught on fire and kept the flame going would have burned his scalp so bad it would have, and then running into the snow and dunking his head in the snow would have caused his skull to become so fucking brittle because of that. Like, any other hit in the head would have killed him, and the fact that you're like, it would have become infected almost immediately, and it would have, like, his brain would be exposed and he would die, like,
yeah,
like that, just because of all, it's like, people would just dead. Everyone's dead.
It was that Three Stooges humor where it was, yeah, it was, you, even the Three Stooges, every movie you would watch from the Three Stooges, you're like, these guys are dead. Like, you know, like every single thing.
I loved how they were on the rope. And then when Kevin cut the rope, you know that they would have hit the ground before that wall.
Oh, yeah. Especially yeah. where they were. Like,
yeah. I was like, oh, my God. But that's the beauty of these movies, is you always suspend disbelief.
I also like that they're, like, climbing across that rope, and it's these two middle-aged dudes, and they're, like, it looks like they're doing it with such ease, because obviously they're on wires, you know? So they're hanging, but no one's hanging, like, straight with their arms straight up. They're bent, and they're just like, okay, here we go. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're not holding your fucking weight up on that rope. Like, you're just fucking...
Come on. Just really strong.
That was some Batman side building climbing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, whatever. It's still funny.
I mean, that's the thing. You have to suspend disbelief in this, obviously. But it's still so much fun to watch, even after all these years. It's a fantastic film that holds up. You know, and I was going to go back when you guys were talking about Marley. I thought it was great, too, that at the beginning of the movie, everyone was completely afraid of him because of the way he looked and everything. And then you come to find out that he's such a, you know, he's actually a pretty nice guy, and he ends up saving Kevin in the end.
Yeah.
So. But what you didn't see was Home Alone 1.5, where he actually, it shows the murders and and him chopping the bodies and putting them into the salt.
He had that look. He really did. And that's how the whole movie starts. You think, like, he was going to be some kind of horrific character.
They really could have played off of that. They could have made a spinoff where he was the murderer.
There, like, was no murders.
Oh, but there was.
Who there, got murdered?
I'm just saying, they could have spun that off. The murders happened, and then he is going around waiting for every Christmas to murder again. And then he spreads. I'm telling you, this could be a thing.
Now, here's a question.
Christmas 1991.
Here's a question I have. Okay. So when they're in the church and they're talking, he's like, I know what people say about me.
Yeah.
That's not true.
That, like, that fell off. But to me, when I was watching, I was like, Oh, so he knows that people are saying that he's an expert?
Yeah, like what the fuck? Who says that? Yeah,
okay, like, think about it. When you were kids, didn't you have someone on your block or someone, like anyone you knew, that was kind of a creepy looking person? And so kids start rumors, or like they would have,
yeah,
like
I could see that,
this
like
creepy house,
like kind of the Sandlot kind of thing. And then your kids would
be like, I double dare you to go ring the bell, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, like the scary house across the street, or like the Sandlot where the dog is built up to be something that he's not.
Right. And like, I think that happens, I mean, a lot in a lot of childhoods.
I think Kevin's the best candidate for that happening later in life.
Yeah.
With him.
Who?
Kevin.
Oh.
He'll be the creepy guy on the block.
I'll be the creepy old man with the shovel.
Yeah. Who's that big man with the beard?
At that point, I really got to shave my beard.
All right, let's go around the room and give it a rating. Kevin, this was your pick, so you go first.
I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row, man. 5 out of 5. I mean, this is just, it's a staple to the holidays. I don't care how old you are. You definitely get the humor. And it only gets better when you get older. You know, it's a great film. And once again, it's one of those things you have to just put on your list to watch every year.
Obviously,
Home Alone 2 was still pretty good too, but anything after that's fucking.
You just mentioned put it on your list. Obviously you didn't.
Oh,
I still
shit.
Have time to
oh,
watch it. You know, the holidays
shit.
Are still coming.
Burn.
You want to ask me another question about the film?
What
color, at what point in the movie?
I don't talk like that. It's more of a, in what point of the movie?
Oh, shit.
Doug, what do you give it, man?
I'm going to go 4 out of 5. 4.5 out of 5.
Ooh.
Not a straight 5. It's not one of my favorite Christmas movies. I feel like... Even though it takes place around Christmas and there is the whole like, oh, dear Santa, please bring me my parents back or whatever. Like, it still doesn't feel like a Christmas movie somehow. I don't know. Not that that's what I'm docking it for. It's just, it's one of those. I feel like you could almost watch this movie any point during the year because it's just about a kid being alone in his house. You know what I mean? Like, you could literally put this movie in the middle of the fucking summer and it's still fucking funny. Like, it doesn't have to be.
It would be, but
Christmas.
I think for me, it's definitely rooted in Christmas. So I definitely have to lean more towards that it's a Christmas movie for me. Because it's the only time of year that I watch it, too. Like, it's just one of those ones that gets reserved for this
right,
time of year.
Right. I mean, that's how I also feel that way kind of about, like, what's that? Love Actually or whatever? Like, it revolves completely around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But. That's not real. I don't feel like that's a Christmas movie either because it revolves around the holiday. Same thing, be like Die Hard. I'd be like, oh, it's a Christmas movie. Like, no, it takes place on like Christmas Eve. It doesn't mean it's a Christmas movie.
Ooh, that's a good pull. I didn't think about adding that to the Christmas list watch.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't think of that as a Christmas movie either because you're right. I mean, they don't really mention Christmas too much in there. Mm-hmm. It was more just like the Christmas party, which everything gets taken over.
Right. That's kind of how I feel about this one. I will only probably watch this one around Christmas, but I'm just saying, like, you really, it could be any time of the year.
But you think about it, like, the family comes all at once and stays at this house. I mean, it's kind of like how Christmas Vacation was, where they had the full family there, and they were all going to go on a full family trip, you know, minus, you know, Kevin sleeping in the attic or whatever.
Yeah, so. But they even mentioned, I think, at the beginning of the movie, that there's a reason why they were going, and I don't necessarily think it, I mean, I guess it was for Christmas, but it was, like, someone's job or something. There was a reason. I don't remember exactly what it was. This is like briefly mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, because they were going to Europe. So
yeah. I mean, it's still. I don't know, but the reason why I guess I'm giving it a 4.5 out of 5 is also like. Fucking Kevin at the beginning is such a goddamn
He's
little
such
weasel.
A little dick.
I can't. I have such issues with that. Like, even before I had kids, like you see these kids in movies and stuff. Like I don't want to say like, oh, that's why kids nowadays are such little shits. But you got to think there's probably some kids who saw this movie and going like, oh man, I could talk to my parents this way. Fucking awesome. Hey, you cunt, bring me a drink.
Whoa.
You know,
if Oliver said that to you, what would you do?
I would laugh first. And then not get him a drink.
Oh.
If he said that to Katie, what do you think?
I would laugh. I can't help it, like, because I have a sailor mouth, so I would laugh because it'd be like, holy shit, where did that come from? And then if he was like serious, like, no, fucking seriously, give me a drink, then we'd have words. Then we'd have some serious. I'd be like, did you watch Home Alone?
I don't think they've ever said cunt in Home Alone.
I'm pretty sure they did, and you just missed it.
Yeah, you missed it because you didn't watch the movie.
I'm going to go back and watch it right now. Look for the See You Next Tuesday.
I'm pretty sure it's – you may be watching the dub version, but when they're in the kitchen, And he's talking about, and he's talking, and he's like, look what you did. He actually says, "What? Look what you did, you little cunt."
Yeah.
I give it a 5 out of 5. I absolutely love this movie. It's one of my favorites. They all are, but it's hard not to give it a 5 out of 5 just because of the fact that I do agree with Doug in the beginning. He's just a little jerk, but at the end, he kind of discovers himself and says, you know what? I shouldn't act this way. And he becomes a pleasant person.
Well, as far as you can tell. I mean, like, but yeah, he has that conversation with the dude in the church, and he's like, yeah, I've been a dick. I've been a little dick. I've been a little dickhole. Just like...
Can we please redub this movie? Listen, man, I've been a real dickhole.
Listen, I said some things that, like, they should have come out of my little dickhole mouth, right? Like...
So, everybody needs to see it. What I really love is watching this, and then, fucking...
what?
Huh? No, what?
I like watching that and then fucking...
Yeah. I love how Harry is telling Marv, and he's just like, yeah, they're talking to each other, and they're like, they've got VCRs. they, like, you know, it's just like tape decks. 1990,
man. That's some expensive-ass shit right
for
there.
For real. Anyways, player. That was this week's movie. Everybody go see it. Please let us know what you thought with hashtag 8BitXmas. Next week is my pick, and this is going to be fun. I can't wait to let you know. Tune in on Tuesday on our main podcast to find out what movie we're going to watch. I think that's it, boys.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Yeah. My name's Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And he didn't really watch that film.